A local fire chief is warning communities around the deadly landslide in northwest Washington to brace for a jump in the death toll Friday. That's expected to be announced later this morning at a press briefing in the town of Arlington. Meanwhile, fresh crews are rotating in to relieve exhausted first responders. Friday is day 7 of the rescue and recovery mission. Correspondent Tom Bonsi had the chance to see firsthand what's happening at the place known in shorthand as the pile.
All this week I've been hearing variations on a thought from fire rescue personnel at the scene of the deadly landslide. Here's a good example from District Fire Chief Travis Hotz.
You just can't fathom what we're up against out there until you get out there and you see the lay of the land. You can't look at a photograph and understand it. You can't even fully understand what we're up against out there and what is what has happened by even watching it on TV. It's unreal.
I finally got to judge for myself on a carefully controlled media tour to the edge of the landslide.
Okay, so let's get you out here. You can kind of see around the trees a little better. Yeah.
Steve Mason led the way in his yellow firefighter jacket and battalion chief helmet. Mason took us to an overlook where we could see the mud flow, a vast, lumpy plain, almost all gray. There's water collecting in low spots and splintered tree trunks scattered all over. From this distance, they look like spilled matchsticks. Around the edges of this forbidding debris field are signs of homes and structures barely recognizable.
In some cases, we've had houses that are more intact than others. Some of them look like they've been put in a blender and dropped on the ground.
I tell Steve Mason the scene reminds me of the aftermath of the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens.
Well, the earth moved. So it's the same type of analogy, I would say, on a smaller scale than that. There were homes in the way, and the mountain came down on it.
In the middle distance, searchers and heavy equipment operators work. They stand out in brightly colored outfits, yellow, orange, blue, a lot of red helmets. I notice they move very slowly.
It's kind of like forensic digging. So what we're doing is you have people around that are watching. They look at the area. They bring the machine in. The machine very gingerly picks up small bites of material, set it off to the side. People go through that material. People look where the machine has just pulled out some material. If the machine's okay, it goes back and pulls some more material out.
The squish, squish of boots and mud may become one of the signature sounds of this disaster. Yes, it was raining again. Mason says navigating around waist-deep mud presents a constant challenge.
We've had people come in and bring plywood in, cut it into strips, so that the workers can get out here and back and forth faster.
So the kind of little street network.
Yes, yeah, we're building a network out there to get out there.
And a final observation, it was strangely quiet when I first got out of our van. The highway dead ends at a wall of mud and debris. I could see lots of rescue rigs and yellow backhoes and little bobcat loaders staged there, but none of them were running. I soon realized why. A group of relatives was here. They'd come to see the place where one or more of their loved ones presumably took their last breaths. It was a very somber and powerful moment. Such pauses to give families access for remembrance and communion are happening, sadly, multiple times a day. I'm Tom Bonsi near Oso, Washington.